Morning Show on Sports Radio 92 on the Game from the Kia Studios, John and Hugh. Been a fun show, been an interesting show, and it's going to get even more interesting here in a few minutes in the final hour of the program today. In a few minutes, Brian Billick, former NFL head coach, and of course, big muckety-muck analyst now, going to join us to talk a little bit about the divisional round of the NFL playoffs and some of the key stories that are floating out there. And we have to touch him up a little bit on what he thinks of Kyler Murray as an NFL prospect. That might be an interesting thing to get his kind of take on that.
You know? And how hard it is to be a quarterback in the NFL, or how hard it is to coach a quarterback in the NFL.
And then coming up in about 20 minutes or a little over 20 minutes from now, Alex Anthopoulos, general manager of the Atlanta Braves, joins us live. We're only, a little over a month, mid-February 15th, I think, is the exact date for pitchers and catchers. And the Braves are going to have that new spring training digs that they're going to open up this year. Toward the end, I think it's at the end of spring training that they're going to be opening up their new place, which has got everybody excited. And that'll be yet another place I have to go down to and check out. The old days of West Palm Beach, and then into the new, what we thought, the Disney Orlando thing, and now they've got the brand new place as they move even further west towards the Gulf. So that ought to be pretty cool. Some of those spring training facilities they built for Major League Baseball now, Hugh, are unbelievably nice.
Oh, they're swanky. They're swanked out. No question about it. No question about it.
You know, they used to just go down and use like high school and college stadiums, and now they build them these. These stadiums are gorgeous, and the amenities are phenomenal, and it's really nice. I mean, for basically a 1 month or maybe 6 week deal every year. And yes, they put the teams then put their academies in there, or their rookie league balls, or their extended spring training, and they use them year round. But as far as having fans, a lot of fans pack the stands. You only get about 20 games a year or so, those spring training games. But if you've never been to spring training, I can't stress to you, if you're a baseball fan, what you've missed.
It's pretty cool. I went to watch the Phillies in spring training. It was in Clearwater. Tampa, yeah, close to Tampa, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Clearwater, yeah, it was nice. But I couldn't get it wrap my mind around, because I guess the thing to eat down there is like grouper sandwiches.
Okay.
I'm not a big fan of grouper.
Grouper's all right. Yeah. You use a lot of tartar sauce on it?
Oh, no, I didn't. I just didn't, because I've seen the grouper fish. That's a big old fish. Like, you catch one fish, you can feed like 30 people.
It is a big fish.
I'm like, no, I'm cool. Like, a grouper could eat you if you fall in the water.
Grouper could eat you, it's true. This hour of the program is brought to you by Renner's Warehouse. We welcome into the program, of course, a longtime NFL coach and NFL analyst for NFL Network, Brian Billick, who joins us this morning. Good morning to you, Coach.
Coach!
Good morning, guys.
How you doing this morning?
I am doing great.
You know, Coach, I know early in the season, we were looking at all these high-flying offenses and everything. Do you still believe that it holds true that this time of year that you're going to have to be able to run the football in order to make it to Atlanta for the Super Bowl?
Yeah, that's going to have to be a part of it. When you look at the numbers early, you have to look at kind of the mean, because a lot of those numbers sometimes are manufactured against defenses that aren't as good. But you've got to assume that when you get to the playoffs, 90% of them are pretty good defenses. There's some that are stronger than others, and also have pretty good offenses to balance it out. So yes, I think that balance is definitely here, and we're going to see some very interesting matchups by way of, you're looking at the Dallas Cowboys and that really good defense and an offense that's able to ground out some time of possession. They're going to make it very difficult for the Rams to have one of those high scoring games. Not that they're not capable of it, but it could become that kind of game. And then the Colts defense is clearly a better defense than the Kansas City defense, and that might indeed be the difference against these two really good offenses.
You know, Coach, I got to ask you, because you got me all excited now, and I'm just going to ask you flat out, what happened with the Philadelphia Eagles against the Saints earlier in the season? Can Philadelphia go to New Orleans and get a win?
No.
I'd let
you know. Philadelphia has got the pedigree, and they can believe in themselves. And Jim Schwartz will do a good job. They'll play better than they did last time. But that Saints, you talk about having that balance, the same offense compared to, say, maybe the Rams. Uh-huh. Why the Saints are the number one seed is because that offense obviously is phenomenal with what they're doing. Drew Brees and Kamara and Thomas. But that defense is playing pretty well now as well, compared to maybe the Rams' defense. So I think that maybe is the difference right now. Jim, you know, and Jim Schwartz, he's got to pressure Drew Brees, which comes with a risk. You uh-huh. sit back and, you know, they're not one to pressure. They only pressure about 20% of the time. That's just not kind of going to cut it against Drew Brees. But by the same token, you pressure Drew Brees. He's got some athletes that can match up one-on-one. So it's a tough task. I find it hard to believe they're going to go down into New Orleans and pull it off.
You know what, Coach, I got to respect you for that. I mean, I hear you. And you know, I was feeling that way. I knew it wasn't going to be like it was the last time, but I was kind of leaning towards you with that one. You just gave me a dose of reality right now, so I'm going to go ahead and take that and be quiet now.
Ryan Billick joining us on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Of course, Super Bowl champion as a head coach in the NFL. Coach, as you look at it, I'd like to ask you a local question. As you look at the Atlanta Falcons, they kind of bucked a little bit of convention in this day and age where everybody's going young and fresh and LaFleur and McVay and that kind of new young coaching tree. The Falcons went back in and got Dirk Cutter. They got Mike Mularkey, two former head coaches, two former offensive coordinators with this franchise to come in and work with Dan Quinn on the offense. Is that kind of bucking that trend? Is that something that could work with a team like Atlanta, in your opinion?
Well, a good team is a good team. Good coaches are good coaches, regardless of the age. Now, I'm an old guy, so, you know, I'm naturally going to lean the other way. You can't do any better than that combination of Dirk Cutter and Mike Mularkey. What it does underscore, and we're seeing it all around the league with the hire of the young head coaches, this is a general manager's league, and the general managers are hiring the coaches nowadays. You saw where Matt Rhule didn't go to the Jets because the general manager wanted to hire all the coaches. That's not a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It just is. And so that's what we're also seeing is that the general managers are clearly in charge of these organizations, and they are making all the decisions, even who's being hired as coordinator.
Coach, with when you look at the Atlanta Falcons and some of the moves that they made by them firing Coach Sarkisian and making some of the moves they made for the offensive coordinator, does it feel to you like this is Super Bowl or bust for the Atlanta Falcons this upcoming season?
Well, typically when you make those kind of dramatic changes as a head coach, yes, to answer your question. That does put a little bit of pressure on you in terms of, okay, well, we think this is the issue, and we're going to change it and make dramatic changes, and that you can't get any more dramatic than firing all your coordinators. But then if you come back and you're not successful, then the only alternative left to you is okay, well, maybe the head coach needs to go. So, yeah, but coaches are aware of that. They understand, you know, even though, like I said, even though the general managers are hiring these staffs now, it seems like the head coach is going to be the one to pay the price if it doesn't work out.
Ryan Billick joining us. Coach, humor me. I want to get back to the playoffs in a second, but just one more question about the Falcons because of your depth of knowledge, your success as an NFL coach, and because of the fact that you were such a great coach defensively. Now Dan Quinn is going to take over defensive coordinator duties in addition to being head coach. How difficult is that combination for one man to handle?
It's not difficult. Dan Quinn has enough experience, and Dan Quinn is one of the best defensive minds I've ever been around or known. He'll do an excellent job. The problem is, and believe me, I lived it. I took over the play calling, took it back in 2006, and we had a certain amount of success and held on to it, and then I got fired in 2007 because the problem becomes, naturally, you're under pressure always. You're going to be held accountable for the wins and losses. But now when you're actually the play caller, more so on offense, but the same defensively, you're now being critiqued on 1,200 some odd number calls during the course of the season. And if things go tough, every blitz should have been zone. Every zone should have been blitz. If you're too passive, if you're too aggressive, you know, just like an offensive coordinator, and that's the trend now too. They're hiring all these head coaches to basically be glorified offensive coordinators. That the question becomes, if you're not successful, well, every run should have been a pass. Every pass should have been a run. So it brings an added element of pressure. Like a head coach in the NFL actually needs more pressure.
Coach, I was always curious because when I think of play calling in the NFL, I always equate it to chess. What is it actually like for you when you're out there trying to call plays during the course of a game?
Well, it is. It's how you're moving. People overstate, I think. I mean, at the end of the day, everybody's doing the same thing, okay? Everybody's running the same offenses in varying degrees. They're just accentuating one thing or another. And you adapt to what does your personnel do best. That's going to dictate what your play calling is. You try to stay ahead of the curve. Mm-hmm. That's where you look at the Baltimore Ravens. You got to give Marty Morningwig and Greg Roman a huge amount of credit because these are guys that have the kind of throwing background. They made the transition to Lamar Jackson, saw, okay, we got to do things a certain way. We've got to accentuate the positives of Lamar Jackson. And within the season, totally changed the play dynamic and the strategies and tactics of that offense and fairly successfully. So that's just good coaching, adapting to what your players do best.
Talking with Brian Billick, NFL Network, and, of course, the longtime NFL head coach, about some of the key stories in the NFL playoffs coming up here. Coach, briefly here, because you brought up the quarterback situation. Kyler Murray, the announcement yesterday from the A's that they think he's going into the draft. You think Kyler Murray is a top five pick? Is he right there with Dwayne Haskins, first quarterback off the board?
We'll have to see. Like all these guys, even Haskins, between now and the draft, they're going to get picked apart in a way that they've never seen before. The unique thing for Murray, it certainly this looks to be a dynamic a quarterback. There are going to be equations made to, obviously, whether it be a Russell Wilson, an RG3 early on. Both these guys have legitimate throwing skills. Murray has outstanding running skills. He could, compared to a Lamar Jackson, this guy can throw the ball. And so that's going to be coveted. Now, the wild card for him is where does the baseball factor in? How does that, is that truly, is this just leverage? Is he truly going to consider it? To me, it sounded like a guy that was committed to playing baseball. And that's going to change where he may be drafted as well.
Yeah, that's true of that. Let's get back to the playoffs here. You already talked about a little bit about the Eagles and the Saints game. The early game on Sunday puts the Chargers 8-1, best road team in the NFL, against the Patriots of Tom Brady, 8-0, only team in the NFL to go unbeaten at home. So those two stats are going to kind of collide against each other. Are we at the kind of the swan song? Well, obviously, Coach, I mean, Tom Brady at his age, we're getting at the back end of his career here. But are the Patriots, are we underselling the Patriots at all this year in terms of their ability to get back to the Super Bowl? I mean, because we focused on the Rams or the Chiefs or the Saints or anybody else?
Yeah, at some point that's going to happen. Is that point now? I don't know. On our show Playbook yesterday for the NFL Network, I said that I thought that the Chargers were going to win. And like most people that bet against Brady and Belichick, I'm probably wrong, because in Foxborough, and you can receive the numbers, they're pretty overwhelming. I think the Chargers are uniquely matched up to the Patriots. Compared to the Ravens, where they struggled in certain areas, although they did a brilliant job in the wild card round compared to Week 16 in Los Angeles. But I think against this defense now, we can see what we're used to seeing out of Phillip Rivers. He's going to see Melvin Gordon cranked up and run. He's going to be able to play action and get the passes off to Robert Woods and Brandon Cooks down the field. They have some weapons, obviously. And I think they're the kind of weapons that could give the New England Patriots, who have struggled giving up big plays, could struggle with. Conversely, I think that defense with those unique safeties that are really safety/linebackers hybrid guys, whether it's James or Phillips or Adai, they can be manipulated in ways to where, whether it's with Gronk, whether it's the backside of the backfield, they can do some things that I think could limit the New England Patriots. Now, yes, and so I'm picking the L.A. Chargers to win in Foxborough. Am I going to bet a penny on it? No, because I'll probably lose my penny. But, yeah, at some point it's going to happen. I think the Chargers are ideally suited to do it.
Well, we appreciate your time, Coach. All right, I can't let you go without saying 8 teams remain. They're coming to Atlanta with 2 of those here to our town. So you tell us, if you can, who are the 2 that are going to wind up here?
Oh, gosh, that is so hard because so many things. You know, it's hard to go against the number one seed because, we get all excited about the wild card round, rightfully so, but we forget that the 1 and 2 seeds are 1 and 2 seeds for a good reason. They're pretty damn good. So it's hard to get by that. But I'm going to give you a surprise pick just to go against convention. It's hard to go against the Saints, obviously, and Kansas City's been magnificent. I think the Chargers and what they can do in New England. I'll give you a couple surprise picks, though. I think New Orleans is going to be there in the NFC, although I'm going to pick the Dallas Cowboys and the Indianapolis Colts, simply because I think they have the combination. If they play their game, they could do something in a very unique way. Plus, let's stir it up, and I'll do a radio show here in a half hour, and I'll pick 2 other teams, and at some point I'll be right.
Hey, that makes me feel better, Coach. When you pick the Cowboys, being an Eagle, that don't make me – I don't want to hear those Cowboys fans. I just don't.
I double whammed you today.
Yes, you did.
Thank you, Coach. Do appreciate very
much. Have
a
good one.
Today.
That's good.
Brian Billick joining us.
Coach hurt my feelings.
But
I need that dose of reality.
Hugh Douglas just had a half a moment of what I feel like when we talk about Swampers. Yeah, I mean, it's the same feeling. I'm like, not those guys. Cowboys or Saints. Oh, bring on the boys. Let's go, Lone Star. I mean, I'm with you, Dak, all the way, 100%.
I'm going to have fun. I'm going to have fun regardless. I'm going to have fun regardless.
Hey, what's going to happen after you win $1,000, huh?
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
After. A-F-T-E-R. What is going to happen after you win $1,000? After. A-F-T-E-R to 72881. After to 72881. Message data rates may apply. Do not text and drive. 99thegame.com for details. A-F-T-E-R. The code word of the hour is after. After. To 72881. Our thanks again to Brian Billick. Got the Colts and the Cowboys, two road teams, not only winning this week but winning again on the road in the conference title games. Wow, that'd be a hell of a run. You'd have, yeah, you know, especially for the Colts, who would go road.
Yeah, the Giants have done it before. They were road warriors when they won the Super Bowl, so it has been done before.
Coming up tomorrow, Twin Peaks, Buckhead, the one at Peachtree and Piedmont, right there. Great food and all that stuff. Dukes and Bell broadcasting live 2 to 7. Get your weekend started right 2 to 7 at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Next, Alex Anthopoulos, general manager of the Braves, joins us live. Where we stand in the offseason in the Hot Stove League right now. His thoughts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Who wants a ring?
It's the greatest show on turf.
Championship mindset, let's go.
Be focused, get in there and open a can, all right?
Championship right here, boy.
Go.
And this season, it's in our own backyard. Keep listening as we bring you Super Bowl 53.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are five weeks or thereabouts, till pitchers and catchers, down in the Orlando area for the Atlanta Braves. Of course, I'm old school enough to remember the old West Palm and then Orlando. And then this year, something really cool at a place called Cool Today Field in Sarasota. The brand new spring training digs are going to open up later in spring training. We welcome into the program the general manager of the Atlanta Braves, Alex Anthopoulos, who joins us this morning on the WaveForward.com hotline. Morning to you, Alex.
Good morning, guys.
How you doing this morning?
Doing all right. It's really cold, and I'm not used to Atlanta being so cold. I was back.
You were in Toronto.
Yeah, I know, yeah. I was, and I was chomping at the bit over the holidays. My wife, you know, it's my wife's side of the family's in Toronto, so we spent the time there, and I was like, I can't wait to get back to Atlanta. And then the first few days I was back, it was so warm, and then the last two have been brutal.
It's going to get better. So yeah. Since you've been here in Atlanta, have you found any favorite restaurants that you like so far?
Yeah, you know what? I liked obviously, you know, find as many new spots in the city. I'd say the best place I've been to, which this might surprise you, but a lot of people hadn't been there in 20 years or so. There's an Italian place in Buckhead, close to where I live, called La Grotta, and a family brought us out there maybe like a month ago, and I mean, I feel like I got to travel a lot in these jobs, and I got to eat a lot of Italian food. That was as good as I've had in a lot of spots, and it's a really odd place. It's in an apartment building. You take an elevator downstairs. You wouldn't even know it's there, but I will say this. That is as good an Italian meal as you're going to find, in my mind, anywhere in the U.S.
Big portions, though. It got to have big portions, Alex. It can't be no little portion thing.
Big Bill. The Bill's big.
Oh, see, okay, and I got
quality.
You. Yeah.
Quality over quantity.
Yeah, I hear you, so I probably won't be eating it.
Well, Alex, since you mentioned the word cool here in Atlanta with the weather, I got two questions on cool and cold. One is, because I mentioned there at the top, tell me a little bit about Cool Today Park, because you're going to be, do you know exactly the date that you're going to move to the new digs in Sarasota?
I mean, our last spring training game in Florida, so we're going to have two games up north here, you know, before, like we did last year, we played the Yankees for two, we're going to play the Reds for two at the end of spring. But our last Florida spring training will be there. So it's just south of Sarasota, it's Northport, so it's close to Port Charlotte, close to Sarasota. I haven't seen it yet, but I've seen a lot of photos and designs, and it'll most likely be the best spring training ballpark in Florida by far. I know there's been a ton of work. This all started well before I got here, but there's been unbelievable work done on it. Chip Moore in our office has really been the lead guy on the project overall. He spent a ton of time on it. He's been going back and forth from Atlanta to Florida a ton. But it is fantastic. We have an academy that we're going to have to house the young players. The ballpark's going to be beautiful. The offices are going to be beautiful. I think fans are going to be blown away. And we're excited, at least our players and everybody. Before we leave Florida, we're gonna head down there and play one last game on the Sunday. And that'll be a nice big event and so on. And I think it'll be great for everybody to see.
All right, that's co-question number one. Alex Anthopoulos, general manager of the Braves. You and I have been talking about this cold stove league. I mean, nothing
is
moving.
Yeah, what's going on, Alex? Ain't nobody been signed yet. What's up?
Show me the money.
What's up with that?
Yeah, no, I mean, the tough part about baseball relative to other sports is the off season can just go as long as you want it to. So you saw it last year and even previous years. There's no deadlines to sign these players. So, and there was some big contracts signed late in the offseason last year into spring training. And the Phillies signed Jake Arrieta to $25 million a year contract in the middle of March. And they're still, you know, I'm in my office right now, and I have a board up of all the free agents, and I have a certain color for all the guys that signed and a certain color for all the guys that haven't signed. And there's a lot of guys that haven't signed across the board of every position. And there will, obviously, I do expect the month of January to start to move a little bit. And obviously, Hugh's been through, you know, as a player, you realize it too. I mean, it's, you know, and when you start getting close to camp opening right around Valentine's Day, your family's asking you, your friends are asking you what team you're going to be with. I mean, you start getting the itch. You don't want to show up late. So I do think as we get into mid to late January here, things will start to move. But I will not be surprised to see some big contracts in February. And an outside chance that you still see some into March.
You know, I have a question: is with pitching being at a premium in baseball like it is, why are some big names still out there like Dallas Keuchel and guys like that? Why are they not signed yet?
Yeah, and you know, it's hard. I mean, most times, and I get just based off of last year. I mean, all these guys would sign. I mean, we have a good idea of what it would take to sign these guys. I think ultimately, and again, you know, from a player's perspective, guys feel strongly about what they're worth and what they should get. Clubs have their own evaluations, and they're comfortable at a certain, you know, certain amount of years, certain amount of money. And, you know, I guess someone's got to blink, right, at some point, and someone's got to move forward. And the other thing, too, is because there's so much volume out there, there's still some alternatives and some options. And there's also some guys that are still out there in trade. So that ends up slowing things up as well. So anytime you're looking at a free agent and you have to pay X amount of money, but then you might be able to go another direction and make a trade for somebody, that's where the more options you have, the slower things go, and you can get a little bit paralyzed. So those guys will all sign. They're all going to play baseball in 2019. It just might go a little bit slowly.
And we're talking with Alex Anthopoulos, general manager of the Braves. Let me throw a couple other players at you here. We're hearing that the market for Craig Kimbrel is coming down from his asking price, and that the market for JT Realmuto might be opening up again for the Marlins, that they may be coming down off of what they were asking. Does that put the Braves back in play for either of those guys?
Yeah, I mean, I'm allowed to talk about free agents to an extent. I can't talk about players on other teams, but I can talk in general stance, and you can basically get a sense of where I'm going with it. I'd say any players that are available in trade, I feel like we have our ear to the ground. We have a good idea of who's available and what it's going to take for us to go get that player. So I feel confident in saying that any player that has been traded or any player that's available in trade, we've certainly checked in. We've most likely had discussions, and we have a sense of what that is. And obviously, you know, guys that haven't been traded yet, people are still negotiating and still talking, but we're still active on the trade front. In terms of free agents, guys like Craig and so on, I guess one of the best closers of all time, longtime Brave. I can't tell you how well-regarded and well-respected he is in this organization. As one of the best closers and relievers of all time and someone that's performed at a high level, that's someone that should do well in free agency. So normally big contracts, significant dollars, that takes a little bit of time. But we would, I don't want to speak to Craig specifically, but if we have a chance to add a elite-level starter, elite-level bullpen guy at a contract we think makes sense and works for us with the rest of our team, we're going to do it. So as long as these guys are still out there and they're not signed, that still gives us a chance is probably the best way I could put it.
Alex, last season was so exciting, and, you know, for the Braves to do everything that they did, I tell you, it made me a huge fan. You being a GM, when you saw that coming here not knowing what this team was going to be, and you saw what they were able to do in such a short period of time, in your mind, because I know every GM has a timetable in their mind when this team can turn the corner, did it move your time? I don't need to know the exact date and what you thought it was going to be, but did it move your timetable up as far as how soon this team would be able to contend.
Yeah, I think it had to. I mean, when I got here, it's a team coming off multiple 90-loss years, hadn't made the playoffs in a while, hadn't been 500 in a while. But to a man, everyone said, wow, we got a lot of good young talent here. You just don't know with young kids and young talent, when are they going to come forward? When are they going to take the next step and become established guys and guys that have success? So I knew there was a chance going into the season, but you don't want to bank on, you know, there was a lot of if this happens, if that happens, if this happens, we can have a really good team. So we didn't do anything last offseason to push all our chips in that way. We made the trade with Matt Kemp. We moved some dollars around, gave other guys opportunities. But with the success that we had, and it was an exciting, young, dynamic team, they finally arrived. We knew it was going to happen at some point. We didn't know when. And it's great. And obviously, we made some moves at the trade deadline. We didn't get as far as we wanted to in the playoffs. And we've done some things this offseason. We're going to keep doing some things. So it did move things up a bit in a good way. And also, it helped, you know, the fans came out, attendance was up, TV ratings were up. I mean, the momentum, look, you're talking about you caught the bug too. That's a good thing for the organization, for the brand, and it gives me more to work with in the offseason, whether it's spending money on players, making trades, and so on.
Braves GM Alex Anthopoulos. Alex, can you update the fans, Braves fans, where we stand on the health of a couple of guys, Dansby Swanson, Mike Soroka, anybody else that you're looking at right now?
Yeah, so Dansby Swanson had the issue with his wrist. He is back feeling great. He's at 85% strength, I think is the last report that I got. I'm going to swing a bat, I believe, 3 days a week going forward. So he's in a good spot. He's on track to be ready for spring. And, you know, the fact that he's now been able to dry swing with the bat and the strength is getting close to 100%, he's moving in the right direction. And, you know, the amazing part about what happened was is, you know, he had a piece of I guess you'd say cartilage or so on in his wrist, and he pretty much played with it 5 months out of the year. And, you know, he went from 6 home runs to 14 home runs, played great defense. And in my mind, in our minds, we're thinking, wow, you know, he just kind of battled through it and fought through it. Now with complete health, how much more upside is there for his bat? I don't want to put too much on him, but we're excited about that. And Mike Soroka was dying to be back here in September, called us and told us repeatedly he was ready to go, wanted to be able to pitch in the playoffs. We had him pitch down in Florida just to make sure he could get off a mound and feel good going into the offseason. Velocity was good. Health was strong. So he will be full go in spring training, and he'll have a chance to come in and compete for a spot in the rotation.
Hey, Alex, I just want to let you know, man, if you know anybody in the AL looking for a DH, I think I can go ahead and make that happen. You know, I've been working on I think I can hit a couple. I think I can do that. So if you know anybody, put my name out there for me, man.
I will. I'm going to throw you up on the board.
All right, Ian. Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Hey, Alex, a big event coming up on Saturday, the 19th, Chop Fest at SunTrust Park. Always, Chop Fest is always a lot of fun. It's good. A week from Saturday on the 19th, it should be, hopefully the weather's great because it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, it's the first time we did it as an organization was last year. I just joined the organization. It's free. So Saturday the 19th, fans come out. It's all day. You get access to players, photo ops, autographs, clinics on the field. You get to do Q&A with GM. There's all kinds of stuff that you can do for families and so on, and it's a great way to get close to players, and the best part is that it's free.
Yeah, and parking free,
and
too.
It's fun.
Yeah, parking's
free,
and
they all come out, right. And all the guys come, pretty much. So it's a really, really great event, and I think it's just going to continue to grow.
At braves.com/chopfest. Alex, you're always welcome. Thanks for taking a few minutes.
All right, guys. Glad to be on.
Have a good
Alex Anthopoulos, general manager of the Atlanta Braves. Well, good news on Dansby. That's for sure. Man, is he saying his upside offensively? Man, that middle infield. See, you're going to get me. I'm going to get caught again with Josh Donaldson and whatnot. It's going to be a lot of fun. We continue and forge on this very interesting Thursday into the Wendy Zone next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, everybody stand up!
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This will probably be a better question for Hugh, but I didn't know NFL teams needed extra motivation to win a Super Bowl. But apparently there's one team in the NFC South that needed extra motivation because it'll be their first playoff game since their loss last year to the Minnesota Vikings, and that improbable walk-off with Stephon Diggs, which is still my favorite picture, video, everything. So it was actually my fantasy football picture was Stephon Diggs catching that touchdown pass. Well, Sean Payton, head coach of the New Orleans Saints, apparently entered the Saints locker room this week with the Lombardi Trophy, $225,000 in cash, accompanied by four armed guards, and had a simple message for his players. You want the money? Win three games. And Mike Triplett, who covers the Saints for ESPN, confirming that story, saying Saints running back Mark Ingram says the guys all got a kick out of it. Apparently, Sean Payton has used this tactic before. Back in 2009, he did it with $100,000 that he brought into the locker room, and then the Saints went on to win the Super Bowl. But again, unaware that teams needed extra motivation to win the game.
I tell you, Wendy, when I heard it, like, I made it to the Super Bowl and didn't win it. But to that visual, I bet you that was a powerful thing. I mean, not a money, like if you're an NFL player, money's money. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I mean, not trying to diminish its worth or none of that, because that's $250,000. But to be able to hoist that trophy, that has to be something that if that's what you're about, if you're about that life,
that has
to be, yeah, it has to be something that motivates. Because when I heard that first, I don't know how I felt about it, because I was like, how dare he do that? But then I was like, you know what? That's a hell of a motivating tool. Because when you think about it, if you go grand scheme, larger picture thing, there's a lot of players that played in the NFL, a lot of great players. They ain't never hoisted that trophy. Ain't never been close to sniffing a championship. Barry Sanders.
Well, given the fact, having worked for the Hawks for 23 years, for the Lions for 1 year, and knowing the reaches that some teams or coaches will go to motivate their players, whether it's someone saying something to media that ends up blowing into bulletin board material and what have you.
Yeah.
This was a boss move yesterday.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Because,
well,
and smells like panic to me.
Oh, of course you. But I listened to Teddy Bruschi, a guy who's won several Super Bowl championships on ESPN this morning, and he said, I'm just surprised no one has ever thought of this before. Because if you're, as you said, if you're a player, hell, if you're a human being and your boss sits, hell, if Terry were to come in here and offer somebody $1,000 today for us to compete for something, you can best believe we're all going to try to get it.
But isn't that part of your job already, is to compete for that championship?
No doubt.
But you would need extra money in front of your face to make me compete harder.
I will say this, Wendy.
To win an award. Like, I'm very competitive. So to win an award and just bragging rights, like, I beat you, but is almost enough.
It's an added motivator, because I was thinking about it.
Well, he promised him $24,000 too much, because according to Sport Track, they would only get $201,000. Right.
Yeah, you know what's funny? I don't remember, like, when I went to the Super Bowl, we didn't win it either. But I don't remember taking home no extra $100,000. I don't remember that.
You didn't get that kind of bonus instead of?
Nah, because I know them. Uncle Sam got his bread.
Well, and here's the other thing. Because I know we did this in the NBA all the time. When the playoffs would roll around, the players would have a meeting when it's time to divvy up playoff shares. And they would get a printout as to how much they've won for each round. Or if they, for finishing first in the division or the conference and what have you, would get even more money. That's on a piece of paper. But seeing $200,000 in your face...
It's different, like, because it's tangible.
I'll take your word for it.
It's something that you can see. Like, I can sit here and talk about championships all day. But if you show it, like, show me the money, like, that's something totally different, because now it's like, it's almost like it's in grasp. It's right there. It's right in front of your face.
Well, it was kind of right in front of them last season. So when you, like, if you lost a Super Bowl game, when the next year you'd be motivated without that monetary value onto it to win it even more, because you were so close last season, so close to the Super Bowl, and you lost it. Wouldn't that be enough motivation as a player?
You know what? To your point, it motivated me. Three times.
Yep.
And only got there one time.
Yeah.
I was hella motivated, but I can tell you this now, on that fourth time going into it, as highly motivated as I was like, damn it, how are we gonna lose this one? In that little man on your show, like, get that thought out your head, son. But you think about it, because it's like, damn it, I've been here three times and I've been motivated. And you think about if it doesn't work out the way that I wanted to, how am I going to get past this? So to your point, yeah, it works both ways. When you actually see it, It's, man. Because when I thought about it, I was like, wow, that's beautiful. Right.
It's $24,000 too much. You got to take out your agent cut. You got to pay taxes.
Oh,
and then Sean Payton's got to pay.
Nobody thinking like that.
Sean Payton's got to pay a fine, and he's got to pay for reparations to a fire alarm.
John, that
okay?
Ain't
I mean,
about
so
that, John.
I
stop.
Mean,
stop it, John.
That's
anybody.
Why you are where you are.
John, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that, John.
It's definitely a bold strategy that I hope does not pay off.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think he wanted that information to get out, because I don't remember this story back from 2009. I could be wrong, but to hear that they did it back then and they won, it does add some incentive. But based on what Brian Billick told Hugh, maybe he should have saved it for the NFC Championship.
You know what's funny, too, is this. He has been doubling down on his arrogance for the last two seasons. Let's be real. He has been the most outspoken, most arrogant coach in the NFL the last two seasons. And you know what they've done? They've backed it up. They've backed him up. They've rolled with him. I think it's genius. It kind of got me uncomfortable this week because they played the Eagles. I ain't going to lie. It's one of those things where you look at, like, this is going to be probably the best game this weekend, because you got the Philadelphia Eagles coming in, and they're riding that wave of momentum with the ski mask and everything. And Sean Payton kind of knows that, and he's looking at it like, hey, bruh, we're a better team. Y'all better play like it this weekend, because the Philadelphia Eagles coming in there with ski mask on. Those cats went from dog mask to ski mask. So I'm excited to see how it's going to play out. I really am.
Well, give him this credit for being smart. He made sure he had some guards.
Yeah, because, sure, yeah.
They were with him. Yeah. With money.
Well, especially around the Saints.
Oh, shut up.
Well, it kind of makes you know. Well, that was a good one. I got to give you props on that one. That was a good one. That was a good one. Because why would you have to have security around your folks?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so that, he got you fine. On that one, AT. I got to give him props on that one.
Hey, you are traveling across the streets.
Yeah,
with 250 stacks.
And the Lombardi Trophy. Would somebody actually steal the Lombardi Trophy and, like, put it up in their house, though? Would somebody actually do
I don't
that?
Think you even could.
Would they take it to a strip joint?
We've seen that.
Listen,
you've
if I would have won it, I would have
probably seen trophies before.
I'd have been that guy. And got a fish sandwich. Me and the Lombardi Trophy would have had a fish sandwich at Magic City and some extra
and all
fries.
The wing juice on
yeah,
it.
All, yeah. That'd have been like, boy, we can't take you nowhere. No, you can't.
Well, before the story times out, I just want to get to it real quick, because if you haven't seen the video of this, I would encourage you to go to our Twitter page at 929TheGame. It has been retweeted there, because Milwaukee Bucks and the Houston Rockets met up yesterday. And I have put this video on loop because it's hysterical. Because if you saw what happened, it looked like Giannis Antetokounmpo tried to fire this pass to a teammate during the game, and instead hit James Harden square in the face. Ooh, and then the ball bounced right really back brutal. To Antetokounmpo. Yeah. It's pretty phenomenal, and you can just loop it and loop it and loop it. It will not, like, James Harden literally fell down. That's how hard the ball hit him.
Oh, yeah, and I want to give a shout out to Chris Paul, because he had on some sweatpants that said Central State University. He wore my school's alma mater sweatpants the other day. And they tweeted it out last night. So, yeah, sweatpants. So, yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, good for you.
CSU alum and all that stuff. Hall of Fame and all that stuff. Ricky Jott, top of the hour. We don't have to show them the money to come up to work and do a good job. I think they get paid. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.